Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
As you've been hearing in the bulletin, an investigation is underway after 11 prisoners were hospitalised following suspected drug overdoses in Port Leisha Prison, the state's maximum security and detention facility. The men have remained in hospital overnight and the substance they ingested has been sent for analysis. For more on this, I'm joined by Conor Lally, Security and Crime Editor of the Irish Times, Professor Colin O'Gara, Head of Addiction Services in John of God's, and Michael O'Sullivan, former head of the EU's Maritime Analysis and Operations Centre for Narcotics. Conor, can I begin with you first? What is known about the status of the men who ingested this substance?
Well, it appears that while we were concerned, obviously, late last night that there were 10 overdoses, that has now increased to 12. There are 12 prisoners from Port Leash prison now in hospital being treated. There were concerns yesterday for three of them, but it appears now that really there's only one of them who's critically ill. So he is undergoing treatment, as are the others in hospital at the moment. Obviously, prison staff are very hopeful that they will be able to pull through. But there's no doubt at all that this is a very serious incident. It's really the first one that we've had in the jails where we've seen what we think is the same batch of, you know, problematic drugs consumed by a group of people who all present then with overdose issues at the same time. So a major incident in the jails, and the fallout of that, as I say, is still happening. That prisoner number involved has gone up from 10 to 12, and it could get higher as the day wears on. We'll just have to wait and see.
Obviously, overdose is the easiest way of describing and explaining what it is that happened here, but would it be more accurate to say that they ingested something that they might not have expected to be in the drugs, that it was that they were adulterated in some way?
Yeah, that's very likely. So what we've, I suppose what we've seen in the jails to an extent over the last year or two, and really on the streets in various parts of the country, is that synthetic opioids, and these would be basically drugs that would be produced in a lab made from precursor chemicals, which often come from China. These synthetic opioids, which are very, very powerful, you know, hundreds of times more powerful than regular opioids, they're either being sold on the street in tablet form, or they're being used to mix with other drugs such as, you know, cocaine, heroin. And no matter what way these drugs are consumed, they're really problematic because, as you say, the people who are taking them don't realise what they're taking. They think maybe they're an experienced, you know, heroin user, cocaine user, but then they take a quantity of this really, really potent drug. They take too much of it. They don't know what they've taken. And obviously they have, you know, they suffer an overdose, basically. But this is becoming more common. There are concerns now within an Garda Síochána. Since the Taliban took power in Afghanistan 3 years ago, they began to really clamp down on the production of heroin there. And that is beginning to have a big impact now on the European heroin market. And there is concern as the heroin supply in Europe dries up that these synthetic opioids will effectively take the place of the heroin product that's been very popular in Europe for, you know, years. And because of the potency of these synthetic drugs, that we're going to see far more of these overdose incidences, particularly groups of people overdosing at the same time.
Let me bring in Colin O'Gara here. We don't know what it is, Colin, that these men have ingested. The analysis has to be conducted there. But if it is nitazine, as has been speculated, what is nitazine and what does it do to you if once taken?
Yeah, so as Conor was outlining there, the what we're dealing with here are synthetic opioids, which are typically a lot stronger than, you know, heroin that's taken on the street. So the story in recent years was fentanyl, which would be multiple times more stronger than heroin and sometimes hundreds of times more stronger than heroin. But in the case of nitazine, you're then you're going up a multiple again on fentanyl. So basically, it's a very strong opioid which has significant effects on all parts of the body. But really, the key part that we're thinking about in terms of overdose is the respiratory system. So it causes an acute reduction in the ability for the body to take in oxygen. and effectively the respiratory system shuts down. So, you know, typically before in prison situations, you would be worried about a prison population who were what we call opioid naive, or opiate in the case of heroin, naive. So in other words, they hadn't taken heroin before, and they might ask a doctor within the prison system for methadone, and there would be a lethal dose of methadone at the time, typically, you know, under 50 milligrams of methadone. You might survive, but anything in and around 50 would be considered a lethal dose. So all the while in clinical psychiatry and in the practice of looking after people in the prison situation, this was the issue that you'd be concerned about. What we have now is we have these ultra potent drugs that none of the prison population or the general drug taking population have what's called tolerance to. So they don't have the ability to process these ultra strong opioids. No matter how much heroin you're taking, no matter how many opioids you're taking, be it morphine, codeine, whatever, you could be taking hundreds of milligrams of codeine. If you are exposed to one of these drugs, such as fentanyl or nitazine, the risk is you're going to die. And as Connor outlines as well, the problem that we have is is multifold, really. The biggest worry for me is the fact that it's infiltrating the supplies of heroin, but also cocaine. So we don't know what happened here yesterday, but it's possible that it is infiltrated. Like ketamine is another drug that comes in powder form and can be snorted. You know, any so-called recreational drug that typically would be considered for decades safe, and I put safe in inverted commas here, those kind of drugs typically would be relatively safe, but now we have this issue where they're probably not.
Colin, if you and your respiratory system survive taking nitazine, what are the long-term impacts here, and psychiatric as well as physiological?
Well, really, you know, in the acute setting, Philip, the issue is anoxia and brain anoxia. So basically, if the respiratory system, in a very simple terms, is not pumping, your heart and lungs are not effectively operating, you get a lack of oxygen going to the brain. And ultimately, people in the acute intensive care setting with opioid overdose, that's what you're talking about. So, you know, for listeners, I would say a documentary which looked at West Virginia in the States, the first responders didn't go out to fires anymore in the fire service. They went out to people dying of opioid overdose. And what they tried to do was administer a very quick antidote called naloxone, which would give people the opportunity, it basically reverse the effects of the opioid on the respiratory system. So really, it's a race against time. And I think the work that's being done at the moment internationally and certainly in Ireland as well is trying to get these kits to people, not only in the community but also in prisons. There's an intranasal form of naloxone, which basically reverses the effect of the opioid.
And is it a panacea, Colin? I mean, does it do the job thoroughly and comprehensively?
In terms of naloxone?
As a reversal, yes. I mean, or will somebody continue to suffer the effects?
Absolutely overwhelming, really, in terms of the effect. You know, it's effectively life-saving, you know. So this goes back, you know, to the time I was training in London. This was kind of new, but I mean, this is 20 years ago. Now it's very much an accepted method of reversing what is, a medical emergency.
Let me bring in Michael O'Sullivan here and pick up there, Michael, if you can, on something that Conor Gallagher suggested, that essentially the US withdrawal from Afghanistan and the Taliban taking over there and outlawing the production of the poppy is something that is having a butterfly effect or a ripple here on the other side of the world in the Irish prison system.
Yeah, I suppose there is a reduction in heroin coming across through the Balkan routes because of what the Taliban have done. However, I remember about 25, 30 years ago, there was a poppy blight in Afghanistan. And for love nor money, you couldn't get heroin in Dublin. In fact, you could hardly get it in England either. And people resorted to tablets and a variety of morphine-based tablets. So it's not going to stop the heroin addiction problem. But what it will make more common is the fact that people will buy synthetic opioids. The thing about buying opioids or buying cocaine or buying ecstasy, nobody knows what's in the powder. If a dealer sells it on, there's no honor among thieves. Somebody buys a powder. It could be cocaine. It could be baking powder. It could be nitazine. It could be absolutely anything. And people in prison are no different than people on the streets or people at a concert. You buy a tablet. It's Russian roulette. You think this is okay. And they take the tablet and it turns out not to be. So in many cases, recreational users, acute drug users, take stuff that's not quality assured for obvious reasons, and it has these effects.
It really is a case then, isn't it, of better the devil you know in maintaining supply of organically grown or outside of a lab produced heroin. Tell me though, is it just down to the lack of expertise amongst those who are cutting or introducing drugs like fentanyl and nitrazine into opiates, that they don't know how much to put in, because there's obviously no profit for them in killing off their customers?
But there is profit for them. They will have customers anyway. Some guy in a lab in Amsterdam will make up a load of powder and he'll sell it for the same price that he will sell high-grade, high-quality synthetic opioids or heroin or cocaine. So he'll get his money anyway and people will come back to buy from him. By the time it comes down the food chain to Mountjoy Prison or some other street in Dublin or Cork, people start to suffer the ill effects of it. They start to die from it. So these people don't care. There's no honour among thieves. They're completely ruthless. It's all about profit.
Michael, when the head shops opened up here, there's a proliferation of multiple different variations on all of these drugs with just the tiniest tweaking of the chemical formula. Are we looking at a similar situation here now with these synthetic opioids, that fentanyl and nitrazine might be tackled, antidotes might be found, they might be prescribed in legislation, but that there will be new iterations of these drugs waiting to come on the market?
Yeah, the head shops were a classic example of the new iterations, and legislation had to be brought in to prevent that. It was generally a free-for-all, and you had youngsters buying all sorts of drugs and having all sorts of effects. But at the end of the day, it's about treatment. At the end of the day, it's about people who are addicted. Two types of addicts. There are those recreational users, and there are those who are acute drug users. The acute drug users need treatment, they need rehabilitation, and the recreational users need education, not to use drugs. It's about reducing the consumer base for drugs. Drugs will always be around in varying quantities, depending on the supply routes. Mm-hmm. It is about the consumer base. There's a lot of money in this country, and there is a huge growth in recreational cocaine users, and they're taking all sorts of powders. Some of it's cocaine, some of it's not cocaine. And either way, at the end of the day, it has adverse effects.
Michael O'Sullivan and Colin O'Gara and Conor Lally, thank you very much. To Ukraine after these.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.